scripture reading jumps around a little bit, so we have the abridged edition from Romans. We'll start. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. God proves his love for us in that while we are still sinners, Christ has died for us. For in hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. I am confident in this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of them is love.
Would you pray with me for just a moment, please? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Have you ever thought about what makes Christians different? Please don't misunderstand me. It's not meant to be an egotistical or an elitist or a politically incorrect question at all. If there is to be any substance to our Christian faith, there must be some distinguishing features of people who call themselves Christian. So, what are those distinguishing features? Are we somehow better? Are we wiser? Are we better looking? Do we do more good works? Are we kinder and gentler? Are we somehow more holy and righteous? What do you think? Now, speaking for myself, I know in my heart, I've got a long way to go. And I suspect that all of us, to varying degrees, realize we've got a way to go as well. You know the word we use for that process? It's sanctification. It's what God does inside of you and me over the course of a lifetime to make us more and more like the image of His Son. And it's a journey. It's not an event. And it's something that's never, ever going to be completely finished this side of heaven. So if all the things we just mentioned are really not distinguishing features of you and I as Christians, then how are we different? Or are we even different at all? Well, do you remember how Jesus summarized God's law? He said, the first commandment is you should love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your strength and all your mind. And then he said, the second is just like it. You should love your neighbor as yourself. And then he went on to say, you know, on these two commandments hang all of the law and everything that the prophets ever said. And when he was bidding farewell to his disciples, you might remember, he turned to them and he said, this is how people will know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another. Paul says it this way in his letter to the Corinthians, which Steve just read us. He said, faith and hope and love abide. These three. And the greatest of these is love. Love gets all the attention. And so it should. You and I are different because Jesus calls us to love one another as he loved us. Love's the centrality of what it means to be called, call ourselves disciples of Christ. But today, I'd like us to focus on the word that comes just before love in Paul's message to the Corinthians. It's a word that doesn't get as much attention or play, but I believe it's one of the most important inward and outward distinguishing characteristics of what makes us uniquely Christian. It's the gift of hope. You and I are a people of hope, and not just any old hope, but a hope that is secure and genuine based on nothing less than the promises of Jesus Christ. You know, our version of the Bible contains the word hope about nearly 150 times. Now, so what is hope anyway? You know, hope speaks to things and circumstances for which we have a desire, a longing, an expectation, but we don't have them in our hand yet, do we? Hope looks to the future. Hope requires patience and faith, doesn't it? Well, how can we be sure that we are a people united in hope? And how can we be sure that your hope and mine is not in vain? Because Jesus said so. I will never leave you or forsake you. I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you can be there too. Our hope is not in vain because Jesus lived for us and he died for us and he rose again so that he could lead us into the sunshine of new tomorrows. Now that's a special kind of hope, don't you think? The Apostle Paul put it this way in his letter to the Romans, and which I think is one of the most beautiful passages in Scripture. Paul writes, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's just one of so many, many promises that God makes that give us reason to have hope. And I went through and I tried to find some others, by no means all of them, and I printed them up for you, and perhaps I'm hoping that these might be an encouragement to you in the future, that you might keep these and look through these and perhaps find one or two that speak to your heart that can give you hope when you need it most. It's an insert in your bulletin. You know, this hope that we lay claim to is not of our own doing. It's just like the gift of eternal salvation. The hope we're talking about is a gift of divine grace. We did absolutely nothing to deserve it, and there's absolutely nothing we can do to create it or manufacture it spontaneously for ourselves. Our hope is not in the things of this world, nor in the people or the events of this world. Neither does our hope rest upon our own strengths or abilities. The hope we're talking about rests on the profound mystery of a God who loved you and me so much that he sent his Son to die for us in our place so that we would never die, so that whatever happens to you and me along the way in life, we might have security and freedom and peace and joy. Last week, my wife and I, coming back from vacation, we flew into LaGuardia, and on the way home, I struck up a conversation with a limo driver. It turns out he had immigrated from Haiti back in 1979. I asked him, I said, you know, how is it there now compared to when you were there? Worse. Worse. But he quickly added, the people have hope. You can see it in their eyes. I thought to myself, how can a people that is so impoverished, so torn by earthquakes, have hope? That's kind of nuts. Well, I did some research on the demographics of the Haitian people, and I discovered that over 95% of Haitians profess faith in Jesus Christ. What a wake-up call. What a reminder to all of us that our hope as Christians transcends what can seem on the surface to be even the most hopeless of circumstances. You know, Psalm 23 tells us that the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. Even though we might be walking through one of the most difficult places in life we've ever experienced, Psalm 23 tells us that we'll be walking through the darkest valley, not into the darkest valley. That word through is so important because it tells us and reassures us that God isn't going to leave us halfway through the valley. He's going to walk there with us until we get to the other side. In Philippians, Paul gives us the same idea, and again, Steve read it for us. I am sure that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally completed. God isn't going to give up on us halfway through. Do doubts ever get in the way of your hope? I don't think we'd be human if they didn't. You remember the story of Peter? He was going to go out there and walk on water to meet Jesus. Well, you know, he started out okay, didn't he? But the wind and the waves got the best of him, and he began to sink. What happened next? Jesus reached out his hand, and he lifted Peter the rest of the way. Peter had enough faith and gumption to give it a try, but not enough to see it through. Jesus meets us in our doubts, in our weak moments. He meets us where we are, but he doesn't leave us there. Why is hope so important? You mentioned it before in your prayer request. In a world that's gone mad, where airliners with innocent people are shot out of the sky, where everywhere we seem to look, people are fighting with each other, where there are places that are so impoverished and dangerous that parents will tell their young children to risk traveling thousands of miles to try to cross the U.S. border. We need to be people of hope, don't we? Perhaps for you, for some of you, it's much closer to home. Perhaps you or a loved one is in a difficult place right now. Perhaps struggling to somehow figure out how to make ends meet. Or having a tough time in a relationship. Or dealing with illness. Or some debilitating habit that you just can't seem to shake off. Or maybe even wondering what life is all about. Whatever your current circumstance, whatever pain or difficulty you might be experiencing right now, God's promise is that you can look forward to a better tomorrow. What does that hope look like? What is it that we hope for? Well, I suppose if we're having economic difficulty, we hope for a return to prosperity, don't we? If we're having trouble in a relationship, we hope for some kind of reconciliation. If it's an illness, we hope for healing. If we're struggling with some bad habit or addiction, we hope that God somehow might put an end to it, as hopeless as it might seem for us. And if we're experiencing a particularly good time in our lives, we have the hope that that tranquility and peace will continue for us, don't we? I expect everyone here today has some aspiration, some hope, some unfulfilled expectation in their heart, don't you? You know, it's said that God does not disappoint even the smallest of our hopes. At the same time, it's said that God's ways are not our ways, and God's thoughts are not our thoughts. Those two ideas are kind of in tension with one another, aren't they? I read somewhere recently, it's kind of a coarse description, but it's a person said, you know, God's not a vending machine. We can't just put our prayer request right in, press the button, and expect that we're going to get out exactly what we hope for. We don't know how God will answer our prayers and realize our deepest hopes. He may do so quickly and in exactly the way we had expected and hoped for. Or he may ask us to wait patiently. Or surprise us in a way that was totally unexpected and different than what we hoped for. The only thing that we can be sure of is that he will do so based on his purposes and his wisdom, rooted in his love and his concern for you and me. Our God is a God of new beginnings. You think of the way the Bible ends. In nearly the end of the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, we read these words. It says, "See, I am making all things new." And then God adds, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." So what's the takeaway for today? Sometimes it's not easy to be hopeful in a world that seems so chaotic, is it? Sometimes it's not easy to be hopeful when we are facing personal circumstances in our own lives. I hope that what we have shared this morning might be an encouragement and a reminder that God gives us a very special kind of hope, a hope based on his promises, that he will always be with us, that he will never leave us, that he will always care for us, and that he will always love us. Jesus said, "I have come so that you might have life and have it abundantly." Jesus is trustworthy and reliable. Our hope in his promises is never in vain. I think if you look back, I bet you can point to instances in your life where God gave you reason to have hope. And then with the passage of time, in one way or another, God satisfied those hopes. Earlier I said that I believe that hope is one of the most important inward and outward distinguishing characteristics of what makes us uniquely Christian. Why did I use the word outward? Because as you and I grow in the confidence and security of the inward hope that we have for ourselves, then we can begin to share that hope with others who themselves may be in difficult circumstances. So what's the takeaway for today? I think the prophet Jeremiah said it about as well as could be said, and that brings us full circle in our worship. If you'll take your bulletins and look at the very top, and let's read together those words that he wrote in the book of Lamentations for reflection. Let's say them together. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him.